Now, this new year, many people might be thinking many new things. Many, many people make so many promises. St. Paul is saying today, we are going to read, he had only one thing in his mind, that somehow he should be looking forward to resurrected life and be with Jesus Christ. That's the only craving he has. But he is trying to tell us, in this world we have so many problems, but we have to get ready for the soon coming of Jesus Christ. Yes. We are going to read from the book of Romans, chapter 13, verses 10 to 14, and then we will go and read one more time from verse by verse. We'll ask Pastor Sebastian to please read.
Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is the time, now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof.
Knowing the time means, he says, the time is passing and we have to awake out of our sleep. Now, he is not talking about the regular sleep. You'll see the people will say you need at least 8 hours of sleep for good health. But he's talking about the spiritual sleep. There are so many born-again Christians, the children of God, they are not alert. Many of them, when they got saved, they were very excited. When the time goes on, they slowly, slowly just act like a worldly people. So he's talking to the believers. Let's read the verse 11.
And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe.
Now here it says, this is the time that we should wake up. And he says, this is the high time to wake up out of the sleep. Now he says the high time, that means he's trying to say, time of Christ's coming is very near. So you cannot spiritually sleep. And then he says, now is our salvation nearer than we believed. Now many people will not understand what salvation is talking about. We are already saved. We already believe Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Then he says, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Now, once we believe Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we get saved. That means our soul gets saved and our spirit renewed. But our body is still in a bondage. That means until Christ comes, this body is not going to change. Jesus Christ already defeated the devil, and he already destroyed the enemy. He already destroyed the death, and death is conquered by Jesus Christ. But at the same time, here the Word of God is saying, our salvation is nearer than when we believed. Once, when we believed, we got saved. That means we were under the power of the devil, and because of Adam's sin, death was hanging over us. But the Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. He came out of the grave, and he destroyed the powers of the devil and the powers of death. So there is no death on us. Jesus Christ even says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. And if you believe in me, you will never die. And if you die, I will raise you up. So the many people might be thinking, people are Christian, people are dying every day. And how Jesus Christ is saying, you will never die. That would only happen when Jesus Christ comes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you read verses 13 to 18, he says when he comes, what he does, he brings the dead people who are already there in heaven, he brings their souls, and then they join to the body, their own bodies, and they are transformed. And the people who are alive, those people will be transformed, and then death will be conquered. That means the people who are alive, when Jesus Christ comes, we don't have to die. We will be completely transformed. If Jesus Christ comes now, all the believers, they don't have to die. So here the Saint Paul is saying, now we have to wake up from our sleep. Now, if you read in Ephesians chapter 5, please read verse 14 and verse 16.
Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light, redeeming the time, because the days are evil.
Now here is saying, we are sleeping. Some of the people are sleeping among the dead. That means we are living among the dead people. And if you associate with the dead people and longer time, and they are dead, their germs can catch up on you, and you can catch their disease, and you can die also. So the Saint Paul is saying, this is the high time now to awake out of the sleep. And if you are sleeping among the dead, get out of our sleep, because the time has come. The time has come. That means Jesus Christ will come and this body will be transformed. So the people should be looking towards Jesus Christ, that he will come and change our body. Now, when you are in this world, in this body, you get sickness, you get disease, you get pain, and when you're suffering, first thing comes to you in your mind that you want to die. And when you die, all the suffering will be gone. That's true, but at the same time, God doesn't want his children, all the people get sick and they die, and nobody will be preaching the gospel. St. Paul says, I like to go to heaven, which if I go is gain, is a good place, presence with the Lord. But at the same time, he said, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to suffer with you, and so I can teach you and I can prepare you for the soon coming of Jesus Christ. So here the word of God is teaching us, if you are sleeping, means spiritually sleeping, we have to, this is the high time to get ready and wake up, because he says our salvation is nearer than we believed. We believed Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We got saved, but now our body is still is struggling because we are fighting with the flesh. Flesh and the spirit always fight. We will be learning a little more. Read the verse 12.
The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light.
Now here he says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and then let us put on the armor of light. In short, he's trying to say we are living in the dark and we are living in this world. In this world, the devil is the king right now for the unbelievers. But at the same time, we are living with the unbelievers. And so when we're living with unbelievers and when we are born again children of God, Jesus Christ has called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. And we should be coming out of the darkness. He said, cast off the works of darkness. So we have to believe that we are not belong to this devil's kingdom. We are not in the kingdom of darkness. We have already redeemed and we are already in the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus Christ. That kingdom is the kingdom of light. But we are still, some of the believers, still living in a darkness and they are not casting off the workers of darkness. So he is giving advice, if you really want to redeem your body and you want to transform your body and make your body ready for the Christ coming, then you cannot live in darkness. He says, cast off the works of darkness. And once you do that, he says, let us put on the armor of light. Now, the devil has the darkness, and his armors are all the armors of darkness. He says, our armor is of light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and he says, you will also be the light of the world. So we should be shining in the dark place because we are the children of light. And Ephesians chapter 6, if you read verses 13 to 17, the armors are given. But we are not studying there all that chapter. But here is saying the armor of God from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet can be covered by the armor of God. And he says, our armors are the armors of light, shining for the glory of God. Okay, let's read the verse 13.
Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying.
Put on the armor of light, then say, let us walk honestly as in the day. That means now we are not in the darkness. We are not sleeping. We are not in the dark. So we are putting on the armor of light. So we are going to walk for Jesus Christ. Now he says, not rioting, not drunkenness, and not striving, and not living in pleasures of this world. So there are Christians, they are still walking in the darkness, and they are not putting on the armor of light. If you really, really, child of God, let us walk honestly. We have to have honest life. We cannot cheat people showing the form of godliness and doing the works of the wickedness or work of the darkness. People are rioting, people are drinking, people are having strife and all kinds of immorality, and that's the kind of life they are living. So he says, if you really, really want to change and looking for the salvation of your body and looking for Christ to come, then you cannot sleep like unbelievers. And then he says, let's read the verse 14. Then he says, once you do this, we have to put on Christ. Please read.
But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof.
We should be putting the Lord Jesus Christ, means wearing the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the armor of light. We are the shining as the light in the world. Now we're putting on Christ. That means when you're putting on Christ, that is the garment of the holiness, righteousness, the robe of righteousness. We are putting on Jesus Christ, who is having all kinds of good character, starting with the love we read in this chapter. We started from the verse 10. But we did not read the verse 10. Please read the verse 10.
Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law.
So now he says, when you have a love, the worldly people do not know what the love is. But we know the God is love. Jesus Christ is the model of love. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we get the love of God in our heart. The Word of God says the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. When we are born again, we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have the Spirit of Christ. We have the Spirit of God. And when we fill with the Holy Spirit, we got this Holy Spirit. So we will be having fullness of the love shed abroad in our heart. So when we are full of love, the Word of God says, love is fulfilling the law. When you love your neighbor, you love your God from your heart, you will not do any harm to anyone. That will be fulfilling the law. So the Word of God is saying, once you are a child of God, let the people know that you are transformed. You are putting on Christ. The people can see Jesus Christ in you. So when you have Jesus, you are going to produce all the spiritual character of Jesus Christ through you. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, if you read, when you are baptized, once you are born again, you are putting on Christ, but when you are baptized, you are also putting on Christ. Please read Galatians 3, 27.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Now, many of you baptized in Christ, you are putting on Christ. That means when you are born again, people can see that you are a child of God. But when you are baptized, you are identified with Christ. Some people are saying baptism is just a ritual, but my subject is not baptism. I'm just giving an idea. Once you are born again, child of God, you should be looking forward to spiritual growth. And if the people do not take baptism, there is 100 chances you have that devil can pull you back. But once you are born again, child of God, and when you take the baptism, you have to read the Romans chapter 6, whole chapter, then you will know when you are born again, you take the water baptism, what you're doing, you identify with Christ. When you go down, we take the nature of Adam down, in the water, when you're coming out with the hope of resurrection, we're putting on Christ. That's why he says, once you are baptized, now you have the character, you have the love of God, and you people can see Jesus Christ in you. But it doesn't happen instantly. It takes a time. The time you get saved, you got struggle. The time you get baptized, you get a war. You remember when Jesus Christ was baptized, he was gone to the wilderness for temptation and trial. So the same way when we are living in this world, we are born again children of God, we are struggling. We are fighting war with the enemy. Our war is not with the people, but a spiritual power and higher authority and the powers of principality, the devil, always work with your flesh. So we have struggle going on all the time, more than before. Because when you are not saved, you are in the hand of the devil. When you are in the hand of the devil, you do according to his will. St. John chapter 8, we read verse 44, when we are the children of devil, then we will do according to his will. He is a killer, he is a murderer, he is a destroyer, and he doesn't have any love of God, he doesn't have any God's character. He is a sinful character. He is destroying the people. So the Word of God is saying, when we are living in this world, whole world is groaning. When Adam committed sin from that day until today, The day he committed sin, the curse came. There was no thorns and no thistles. The ground was giving all kinds of good fruits and everything. But the man committed sin, the curse came. Then Cain committed sin, more curse came. So the ground from that day until today is groaning. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 21 to 23.
Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even when we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body.
Now here he's saying we are groaning. Each and every person, he says, whole creation, whole creatures, they are delivered in the bondage of corruption. Now the whole world is under the corruption. Only once we come to Jesus Christ that the corruption is gone. But all other people, when they die, their body will be corrupt and their body will be resurrected, but the body will be cast into hell again. But the believers, we do not have any corruption. So here the word of God is saying, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. That means we will be having the glorious liberty as the children of God when Jesus Christ comes and delivers us from this corruption. We will be delivered from this corruption and we will have glorious liberty of the children of God. That means we will be living a glorious life because this creation is groaning, but the once you come to Jesus Christ, then God makes you a new creation. Read the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
See, if you, anyone in Christ Jesus, means any person receives Jesus Christ as her or his Savior, that person is new creature or new creation in Christ. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That means all the devil's nature, all the demonic things, what the people were doing before, once they believe Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they are transformed, spiritually transformed, and they have the new nature of God. And we are passed from death unto life, and we are new creation. Let's go back to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 22.
For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now.
Verse 23.
And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body.
Now here is saying, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Now, he's talking when he was writing this thing, until now. But that applies today also. We are also groaning in our spirit. When we are having problem, in the same chapter, if you read, we don't have to read right now, but 27 and 28. When we have problem, we are groaning, we do not know even how to pray. That much trouble people are going through. Some people are sick, afflicted and having so much terrible pain, and they cannot even pray. Sometimes people say, you know, I'm very busy. I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time to pray. When they get sick, they say, okay, I take a sick leave and I'll be reading the Bible and praying. But sometimes you have so much pain. You cannot even take the Bible and read. You cannot even pray. You cannot even form the words from your mouth because the terrible pain comes. So here says, that's why you don't know even how to pray. You are groaning in your spirit. You are travailing in your spirit. You have so much pain and suffering. And people are saying, how long this will be? But the word of God says, this suffering, we are suffering, but we have the first fruit of the Spirit. Now he says, first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Now, this scripture is not that clear to newborn people because it says first fruits of the Spirit. All of a sudden, people will say, oh, I don't have the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm struggling. He's not talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the first fruit of the Spirit. That means if you are born again, child of God, when Jesus Christ comes, you will be resurrected. You have to have that Spirit of Christ in you to resurrect it. But there is a group of people today, they are teaching, if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, when Jesus Christ comes, you will not be resurrected and you will be not going with him. So you have to have the Holy Spirit. But this is not talking about the Holy Spirit. This is talking about the first fruit of the Spirit. That means if you read the book of Romans, chapter 8, and please read from verse 9 to 11.
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you.
When you read this very carefully, the Word of God says Jesus Christ was resurrected by the Spirit of God. So he says, if you want to be resurrected, you have to have the Spirit of Christ. That means you should be born again. And when you are born again, you have the Spirit of Christ and you are Spirit of God. We learn many, many times. When you have Spirit of Christ, Jesus says, I will bring my Father's Spirit and we will dwell in you. St. John chapter 14, verse 23. So that means when you are born again, we have the Spirit of Christ. And then we have the Spirit of God. And here, Word of God saying, because Jesus Christ had the Spirit of his Father with him, that's why he was resurrected. So the same way, if you have the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of God, you will be resurrected when Jesus Christ comes to take his people to heaven. From these scriptures, it's very clear, you do not have to have the Holy Spirit, the third person of Trinity, to rapture or go with Jesus Christ. Dead in Christ, it says, dead in Christ will rise first. So dead in Christ means it did not say the people who are filled with the Holy Spirit will rise first. So here the Word of God is saying, if you want to be resurrected, you have to have the Spirit of Christ and Spirit of God. That's why it says first fruit of the Spirit. So we will be resurrected because we have the Spirit of Christ and Spirit of God. The Word of God says the Spirit of Christ quickens us. Because if you have the Spirit of Christ, we will be resurrected. When we are dead in sin, our spirit or our soul has to be quickened. Read the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1.
And you have he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins.
See, we are quickened when we are living in sin and we were already spiritually dead. So who quickened us? The Spirit of Christ, Jesus Christ, came and quickened us. You remember St. John chapter 20, verse 22, when Jesus Christ came after the resurrection, breathed on the disciples, and they got the new life, the life of Jesus Christ. Spiritually, they were dead. Now they are quickened. They were born again. So here the Word of God is saying, we have to have the first fruit of the Spirit. So adoption, he says, waiting for the adoption, for the redemption of your body. If you do not have the Spirit of Christ, that means if you are not born again, when Jesus Christ comes, this body will not be redeemed. This body will not be transformed. So we have to have the Spirit of Christ. That means we have to be born again to resurrect it. You don't have to have Holy Spirit to resurrect it. Born again experience to be resurrected when Jesus Christ comes. When somebody says you don't need a Holy Spirit, that subject is different. We are not talking about the anointing of the Holy Spirit right now. We are talking about the transformation of our body. When Jesus Christ comes, we are groaning on our body. We have all kinds of problems, but once Christ comes, we will be putting off this mortal body, and we will have the spiritual body transformed like a Christ body, and then we will have redemption for our body. So here, as long as we are living in this world, we have spiritual battle. If you read in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21, the flesh, the fruit of the flesh we see. And when you read the Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 25, we see the fruit of the Spirit. There also people say fruit of the Holy Spirit. That is not the fruit of the Holy Spirit, they are the fruit of the Spirit. That means if you have a Christ, you will produce those fruits. But if you don't have Christ in your life, you will produce the fruit of darkness. Please read Galatians chapter 5, 19 to 21.
Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Now these are the fruit of the, what you call, unclean spirit. When you have a spirit of devil, a devil living in you, or you are in carnal mind, these kinds of fruits you produce. But once you are born again, child of God, you have the Spirit of Christ, then you will produce the spiritual fruits. Read from verse 22 to 25.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Okay, so here is saying you have two kinds of spirit. If you are in the flesh, you are going to produce the fruit of the flesh. And that fruit will take you to hell. So here we learn the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. So in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 25, we read, those fruits are not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Some people say, oh, I don't have the Holy Spirit, so I cannot produce those fruits. Those fruits are fruits of the Spirit, means you have the Spirit of Christ, you have the Spirit of God, you will produce these fruits because you will have the nature of Jesus Christ. So you will be producing those fruits. So that's why the Word of God says we are waiting for the redemption of our body. Once our body is redeemed, then we will never, never commit those sins in our body. We will be with Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. Here he says, when Jesus Christ comes, he will transform us and we will be with him forever. After 7 years, we will come down on earth. There will be earthly kingdom for 1,000 years. After the 1,000 years kingdom, we will be going with Jesus Christ for eternal kingdom. Many people don't believe that, but that's going to happen. That means once we transform, our body is redeemed, no more sin. Even though we come back to this world, we will never commit sin because we will be not living in sinful body. Our body will be completely transformed. Let's go to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and please read from verse 6 to 11.
Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do.
So now here's the Saint Paul again encouraging. He's saying, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Again, he says, if you are a born-again child of God, you are not having a spiritual sleep and drink like others. So he says, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunk are drunk in the night. Now, this was written almost 2,000 years ago, who were drinking at that time only nighttime. But today the bars are open almost 24 hours. Only a couple of hours they are closed to clean up and things like that. But some bars are open until midnight and start again in the morning. And so the people are drinking day and night. And I have seen people drink so much and they cannot walk, they cannot talk, and they cannot give up, and finally they die. This kind of people he is talking about. But here is verse 8, he says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for helmet of hope and salvation. Now, if you go and read the Ephesians chapter 6, the armors are given from top to, from head to toe, I said earlier. But here we see breastplate of faith and love. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 14 says, the breastplate of righteousness. Now some people say, how many breastplate we have to put on? Okay, now here is saying, once we are born again, children of God, we have faith. Without faith, we cannot be born again. Once we have faith in Christ, as you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then Jesus comes in. And as I said earlier, God is love. So when Jesus Christ comes in, he is the model of love. So once you have faith in love as your breastplate, and when you have faith and love, then you have the righteousness of God, because the faith, love, and righteousness comes from Jesus Christ. So actually we read we have to put on Christ. But here it says breastplate of faith and love and righteousness. So when we put on Jesus Christ, we are putting on faith, we are putting on love, we are putting on righteousness, and we are putting the armor of light. Then he says a helmet of hope and salvation. But in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, he says helmet of salvation. But here, he added one more verse, hope of salvation. He says, you have to have hope of salvation. If you don't have hope to get saved, you will never get saved. So here it says, once you are saved, born again, child of God, you have faith of God, you have love of God, you have righteousness of God that you put as a breastplate. But to put the helmet of salvation, you have to have hope in resurrection, redemption for your body. And then he says in Ephesians chapter 6, 17, that helmet of salvation. So without salvation, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Without salvation, you cannot fight the fight to the devil. So you have to have the full armor of God, but here only two armors are mentioned, faith, love, and righteousness, and salvation and hope. All these things can be keeping you ready for the soon coming of Jesus Christ. Verse 9. Please read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9.
For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ.
Now here it says again, God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Why he's saying in between this? Because he's talking about the resurrection. He's talking about the second coming of Christ. He's talking about Jesus Christ is coming. And many people are thinking the tribulations are coming, and many people are having problem, groaning in the spirit, having sickness, disease, pain, war, and struggle. And some people are thinking we are in the tribulation. So many people are dying. Many Muslims are killing Christians. So people are thinking this is the tribulation. We are going through the tribulation. But Jesus Christ says you will have a tribulation trial in this world for a short period of time, but I have overcome the world. This is not the tribulation we are talking about, the Antichrist ruling. When the Antichrist comes and rules, then the people will be under his kingdom, and you have to take a 66 number. You cannot buy, you cannot sell. If you take the number, you are doomed for eternity. You go to hell. And if you don't take the number, they will kill you, but you will go into heaven. So he's talking about that kind of wrath. So he's saying, for God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That means Jesus Christ is coming and he is taking us away. And so you will have redemption of your body and you will be having a spiritual body with Jesus Christ. And we are not going to suffer in the tribulation like others. So we have to believe that God is not going to allow us to go through tribulation. This is a law in any country. If they're having a war with other country, before they declare the war, they will tell their citizens to come home. And if they don't come and they get into fight and killed, they cannot blame the government. Government tried to rescue them first. The same way God is going to rescue his people first before the Antichrist can come to this world, because dead in Christ will rise first, we go, and then the Antichrist or the Antichrist kingdom starts. The Word of God says Antichrist cannot come because the Holy Spirit and the church is opposing and not allowing the Satan to rule. As long as the church is on earth, Antichrist cannot rule. As soon as the church is taken away, then the Antichrist comes. And as I said, first 3.5 years will be mild tribulation, because first 3.5 years the two witnesses will be witnessing, and they will not allow devil to do his work. Even the devil try to do something, but they will have war with the devil, and they will even wound the devil like a deadly wound, and he might be in a very bad shape. But as soon as he comes out of that wound, then he kills these two witnesses, and then he starts his kingdom, and that will be 3.5 years, great tribulation, as the word of God says. So now we have to see the word of God saying we have to avoid this wrath and go with Jesus Christ. So let's read the verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 10.
Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him.
Now, here he's saying, in the beginning he says, we should not be sleeping like others, and you should be awake, the time has come, and you should be get ready. But again he says, you know what? We are not talking about the natural sleep. Somebody says he sleep 8 hours, and he said, don't sleep. He's not talking about the physical sleep. But he's saying now, if you are physically sleeping and not awake, but when Christ comes, he will take us together. Because when we are in Christ, we are sleeping or we are alive, we are spiritually awake. We are not spiritually sleeping like others. So that means, when Jesus Christ comes, we will be gone. You know the parable is given in Matthew chapter 25. You have to read from verse 1 to 13. In that parable, we see 10 virgins. 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. But they are all virgins. That represents like today's church. In the church, there are born-again, spirit-filled people, but at the same time, there are some other people, a nominal Christian, or just people coming in a church, acting as a believers, but they are not really transformed. Now, here we see the 10 virgins, but the 5 are wise, and 5 are foolish. Now, what is the difference between all these two kinds of virgins? The first 5 virgins, they are going to meet the bridegroom, and they are prepared. They are prepared, they have lamp burning, and not only that, they thought, in case if the bridegroom comes late and our lamp should not be gone, so we need some extra oil. So they took extra oil. But the other foolish version, they did not take the extra oil. So what happens? The word of God said they were all sleeping. Now, here the word of God says, if you sleep or you awake, you will be going together with him. So when the cry came and says the bridegroom is coming, all were awake. Now, the 5 virgin, wise virgin, their lamp had extra oil, so they trimmed the lamp and put the oil and they were ready to go. The other foolish 5, they took the lamp, their lamp was already gone, and they said, please, could you give us some oil so we will be having our lamp ready? They said, no, we cannot give it to you because we will not have enough for you and us. So you go to the shop and bring it. Now the midnight, all the shops are closed. And some of the shop might be open. They have to go and bang the door and tell somebody to give the oil. But the point I'm making, these 5 virgins, a wise one, they are already prepared. They have already born again. They are already spirit-filled, and their lamp is burning. They are ready. So even though they were sleeping, and they were already spiritually ready. That's why the St. Paul is saying, whether you are awake or asleep, we should be alive together with him. So this cry came, or the announcement came, that bridegroom is coming. Five were ready, and the other left to get the oil. But if you read in this chapter, they came back, and they start banging at the door and say, please open the door. And if you read, it says, who are you? I do not know you. When Jesus Christ says, I don't know you, that means you were never saved, you were never born again, you never lived a Christian life, but you just did the lip service and singing in the choir and preaching without having the born-again experience. There are so many preachers are doing today. There are so many singers singing, and they're singing songs and became famous, and they're backslidden. Many preachers preach good sermons, and they're backslidden. And if Jesus Christ comes, and they're coming and knocking, he's going to say, I don't know you. They say, oh, we were singing and we were preaching and all of these things. He says, well, I don't know you because you never gave your heart to me. You were singing with your lips, but your heart was belonged to the devil. So that's what happens when God has called us to follow him. That's why in this chapter we read, a couple of chapters, that we have to be ready. We should not be sleeping. We should not be doing the works of the devil. We should be doing the works of God. We should be putting the breastplate of faith and love and righteousness. And we should be having the helmet of hope of salvation. And we should not be living in this world worldly, not sleeping in this world. But it says spiritually. If you are awake, spiritually, if you are born again, spirit-filled, living for God, then if you are sleeping or awake, Jesus Christ can come anytime. You will be resurrected. You will be going with him. So the St. Paul is giving us warning how to prepare ourselves for his coming. Now, Philippians chapter 3, St. Paul is saying, he is giving his own example. He says, that I made a one decision. I have one desire, whatever it takes, I have to go when Christ comes. I want to be in his resurrection. I want to be ready when he's coming. Let's read Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 to 14 first.
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Now he is saying what he is doing. St. Paul is saying, I have decided. This man was not ordinary man. He had already doctorate degree in theology. And he was Pharisee. But he said, now I decided, I have only one desire. When Jesus Christ comes, I have to be in the resurrection. Whatever it takes, I have to be in the resurrection. That means he suffered for me. I want to suffer for him, and I want to identify with his death. I want to die for him. Now somebody will say, Jesus Christ gave you eternal life. You were dying. He resurrected you. He gave you new life. Now why you have to die again? The people do not understand. We are not dying for our sin. We are dying for Christ. That means we are dying to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you are born again, your suffering starts. You start growing and praying and suffering and travailing because you are still living in this body. So here he's saying, I have decided to follow Christ and his resurrection power. I want to suffer with him. I want to identify with his death, and I want to live for Jesus Christ. No matter what happened, all the suffering comes, I'm not going to be backslidden. All the trial comes, I'm not going to turn around. And all the people try to kill me, I'm not going to be afraid because somebody says, change your religion, otherwise I'll kill you. And some people are dying. They don't change their religion. They believe Jesus Christ and they said, no, you can kill me because if you kill me, I'm going to go direct to heaven. I'm not going to go to hell. So they are not afraid of dying. That's what the Saint Paul is saying. Then verse 11, he says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. By any means, doesn't matter suffering or death. I made up my mind, whatever comes in my way, I want to have the resurrection. I want to raise from death. I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to die with Christ. I want to live with Christ. I want to reign with Christ. And I have decided to follow Christ. That should be our desire. And verse 12. Please read.
Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus.
Now, in these words you read, people get confused. He says, I'm not already perfect. So some people say, oh, I'm not perfect. I'm living in sinful life. So I'm still struggling. He's not talking about that. He's talking about perfect means my body is not transformed yet. Our spirit is born. We are children of God. But we are living in this body of flesh. This flesh is not transformed. Because when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and he shed his precious blood, he washed our sins away. We are perfected. We are not sinners anymore. Many people are saying, oh, I'm not perfect. When I die and when you go to heaven, I'll be perfect. If you are not perfected here, you cannot go to heaven. Let's read a couple of verses and then you'll know what I'm talking about. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Please read.
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
See, blood of Jesus Christ washes away our all sins. When the all sins are gone, you are not sinner. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5.
And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
He washed us with his own blood. That means Jesus Christ shed his precious blood and he washed us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19.
For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
So we are redeemed, we are purchased, we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20.
What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God.
So we are already perfected in the spirit. But he says, I'm not already perfect yet. That means he's talking about body. He's not talking about the washing by the blood of Jesus Christ. When God sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ, he says, you are perfect. If you are not perfected in this world by the blood of Jesus Christ, you will never make it to heaven. Verse 13 and 14.
Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Your eyes should be on the mark, and that mark should be Jesus Christ is coming, and he's going to resurrect my body, so I am looking forward to him. And why he's saying, in the 14th, he says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. And this high calling is high calling of God in Jesus Christ. So he says, I'm running, I'm pressing, and I'm looking for the prize, and I'm looking unto Christ, and that is my mark, that is my goal, and that is my desire. But he says, I have one desire. When Christ comes, I want to get rid of this fleshly body. I want to get rid of these worldly things. I want to press on Christ and looking unto Jesus Christ and run my race. And then I will achieve my goal. So this should be our goal in this new year. Now read the book of Hebrews chapter 12 verses 1 to 3. How we run and how we achieve our goals.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind.
Because we are looking unto Jesus. Our mark is Christ. We are looking at that mark and running. He says, many people ran before you. Many people successfully made it. Peter, Paul, John, all these first century apostles. They suffered, they got killed, they got tortures, but they set a good example, like a cloud of witnesses all around us. So now he says, when you're running, you run, and when you're running, don't take any weight with you. Means all these fleshly desire and all these temptations and trials and all the lust of the flesh and all these things, we have to take it off. Look at the runners. When they run, they don't run with a 50-pound or 1,000-pound weight on their back and run. They just run with a very little clothes on, and they run towards the goal. So here says we have to give up all these things. They said there is a sin easily try to conquer you or try to deceive you. That sin is unbelief. Unbelief comes and then you fail. You have to hold on to your faith in Christ. You have to have faith in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you will not run the race properly. You believe Jesus Christ. You believe in his suffering. You believe what he has done for us. And then you're looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one, a creator of faith. When you're lacking faith, you trust in Jesus Christ, all your trials and tribulations, say, Lord, give me more faith, give me more grace, give me more power. I have to have victory over this. I'm suffering, but only one goal I have. I want to follow Christ. I want to have redemption of my body. I am suffering in this body, but I am not going to give up. I'm looking unto Jesus Christ. He is coming very soon. My eyes is fixed on the mark of Christ. I'm looking unto him. And when I'm looking at my suffering and comparing the suffering of Christ, my suffering is nothing. Then I'm not going to faint. I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm not going to say I cannot make it. If the Paul made it, Peter made it, John made it, and all other disciples made it, and we can do it too, because we have the Spirit of Christ, we have the Spirit of God, we have the Holy Spirit, and we can conquer this spiritually, and we are more than conqueror in Christ Jesus. So we are looking forward to meeting Jesus Christ. That's the only goal we have. And he says, we are suffering in this body, but we will have the redemption of this body. We will have the changed body. In that body, there will be no pain, no suffering, no death, nothing. Because when we go to heaven, there will be no crying, there will be no weeping, there will be no trouble, no sorrow, no pain, no death. And that's the kind of hope we have in Christ. That's why we are looking unto Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And when we run the race looking at the mark, looking at Jesus Christ, we will never faint. So let's pray and ask God.